What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of PGA Grinders Live After Dark. I am your usual host, Justin Van Zuiden. STL Cardinals 84 is the daily fantasy handle, and I have enlisted some help this week. Gib Pollard is still on vacation, traveling back from Australia. He'll be back next week for the Open Championship. And Brian Devonshire is out at a little event called the World Series of Poker, so he's not with us tonight either. So I have enlisted two very, very capable PGA DFS folks to help me out on the show tonight. We'll start with the new face. I've got Jacob Horton. You may know him as Han Dizzle throughout our Roto Grinders content here with us tonight. Thank you for joining us, and tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, glad to be on the show tonight. More than happy to help out. Been providing content for Roto Grinders for about a year now. And I have to say, if people don't realize it, it's harder than you think. So Justin and Derek, y'all do a great job doing it every day for most of the year, or at least for Derek most of the year, Justin, most of the summer. It's harder than what people think, and you guys are awesome at it. So, I love playing DFS sports. I'm in the golf industry. I teach golf for a living. So hopefully can provide a little different perspective that you don't normally get. So.
How long have you been doing that?
20 years. I've been in it since I was basically a sophomore in high school. Kind of knew that that's the path I wanted to take. And
always with the teaching aspect of it and the
industry for 20 years, but I've known that I've always wanted to do teaching only. In the last 5 years, I've just taught full time. So it's kind of a big jump to make, but it's exciting. At the same time, it's owning your own business is a hard task, but I really enjoy it. At the end of the day, you got to do what makes you happy. So.
That's very cool, especially in a sport like golf. Not an easy sport to just pick up off the street and play, for sure. Having gone through that myself, I'm not a great golfer, but you get better with practice and coaching, and that certainly makes a difference. So awesome to hear your story, and happy to have you on tonight, talking a little bit of John Deere Classic with us, and Derek Farnsworth also alongside. We're looking to maybe ride the coattails of his recent hot streak. Hey, Noto, what's going on?
Ah, not much. I'm enjoying this all-star break. This is nice, not having to write the grind down for MLB.
it feels like you got nothing to do in the morning, huh?
Yeah, I recorded some Roto Academy videos today, so those will be out soon for NFL. But yeah, I need to send you a video of my swing. You can fix my slice, Jacob.
Man, I'd love to.
Look at that. You're getting a nice hookup on the air here tonight with a nice coach. So. Well, yeah, it has been a week with not a lot going on, so plenty of time to dig into golf. Unfortunately, we don't have the strongest field event at the John Deere Classic, kind of what we saw last week at the Greenbrier. Just it's a field that's pretty much wide open, and with last week's event, you basically saw a bunch of, I hate to say no names, but not your typical top of the leaderboard with maybe five or six guys in the mix there towards the end of the tournament. And you had guys like Kelly Kraft and Xander Schauffele who ended up winning. And, you know, it was Robert Streb who's kind of been up and down throughout his career. Just not your usual heavy hitters. And, you know, that's kind of the way that event typically plays out. We talked last week on the show when Eric Crane was on, went through the winners of the Greenbrier for the last 5-6 years, and you kind of saw similar leaderboards like that. So when you get a weaker field event, these things open up. We've got four spots to the Open Championship on the line, so guys that haven't qualified for that, the John Deere Classic provides a charter flight out for those that are playing and have qualified. So, but that's part of the reason why we see a little bit of a weaker field. You've got the Scottish Open taking place this week. A lot of the guys that are playing across the pond next week in the major are playing in that instead. So, I mean, it's kind of what you get used to here, the John Deere Classic being a weaker field event the week before the Open Championship. The schedule got changed around last year because of the Olympics, and the John Deere Classic got moved to August. But this is the usual spot. So the guys that you see playing here this week are the guys that generally like the event or have played here in the past or are looking to secure a spot still in the Open Championship. So just a little bit of a different dynamic this week. Jacob, I'll start with you. Anything that stood out to you with last week's tournament or, how you're attacking maybe these weaker field events that we've had the last few weeks?
Well, I think, you know, last week you could sort of see the trend of maybe a new winner or a name that maybe not everybody feels comfortable rostering winning. I mean, it's a weaker filled event. And I think that'll carry over to this week to a certain extent. But you look at the past, you know, winners of this tournament, the big names have performed well here. We have Ryan Moore, Jordan Spieth, everybody's favorite in that area, Zach Johnson's won, Steve Stricker. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a big name win this week, although I'm not really crazy about any of the above 10K players. I wrote up Danny Lee in my article this week, but he's probably the one player I'm kind of comfortable rostering above 10K.
And Noto, I know you probably weren't able to pull the same haul last week as the week before. It's tough to follow up a six-figure week with another one, but I know you were on some guys last week that did pretty well. Your thoughts on the tournament from last week?
Yeah, it was a fun tournament. It was good to see Xander Schauffele win, although he did bump me down from the cash line in the Thunderdome. And you were the one of the guys that passed. I
apologize for that.
Yeah, it was a fun tournament.
It was pretty fun. There was a group of like four of us that were bunched together there that kept teetering on those different spots throughout the day on Sunday. But Jacob brings up a good point. I mean, even though this is another weaker field event, you have had guys that have consistently played well here. Steve Stricker won this 3 years in a row. Brian Harman was your winner in 2014. Jordan Spieth was your winner in 2015, which I believe was his first career win. And then Ryan Moore was your winner last year. So we haven't seen that trend of, you know, a bunch of nobodies winning this tournament. You know, Zach Johnson has won here in the past. He won in 2012. And, you know, it just hasn't been those random Applebee's and Blicks and, you know, the guys that we saw win last week's tournament for whatever reason. Obviously, we're dealing with a small sample size, so you know, anything can happen, but it has been a trend that one of the bigger names has gone on to win this event in recent years. And the pricing is still pretty soft, especially on FanDuel. The pricing is really soft this week because of the weaker field, so you can fit a lot of these higher end guys in or not. You know, the question is whether you want to spend on them or not. You know, a big key to this event, in my opinion, is you're going to want to get as many guys through the cut as you want, more so than on a normal week, because there are so many birdies to be had at this course. The winning score is, you know, tends to be 20 under par or even better than that. So it maybe lends a little bit more credence to the balanced lineup approach this week. Jacob, is that kind of a way you're leaning as far as a general strategy?
Yeah, if you look at like the last sample of the last, you know, let's say 5 years, you're looking at a handful of players in the top 10 making 20 more birdies for the week. So you're definitely going to target birdie makers looking at guys that not necessarily the course fit this week will not be one that is a bomber's course. I mean, you've seen below average hitters of length in the golf ball and then fairly, you know, decent to not too long as well. So Jordan Spieth is definitely not the shortest, but he's more of an accuracy guy, right? Steve Stricker, Zach Johnson. So guys that can kind of keep the ball in play and hit a lot of greens, I think, is a good plan for this week. You know, so I'm definitely looking to attack guys. If you're close on two people, I would pick the guy that you feel like can make more birdies.
Yeah, Derek, what are you looking at as far as stats to target this week?
Yeah, a little different than I normally look at. Definitely accuracy off the tee, good wedge game, strokes gained approach, and then a little bit of putting. I usually don't factor that in too much, but we've seen a lot of good putters play well here in the past. So it doesn't hurt to putt well here.
Yeah, you got to make birdies, as both of them said, if you want to win this tournament. Pars aren't going to get you huge paychecks at TPC Deer Run and kind of a – I'm only about 30 minutes from the course, maybe about 35 minutes from the course, but almost due east of where the course is. So the weather patterns that I have here are pretty much the stuff that goes through. Silvis ends up coming my way, and we have had extremely heavy rains the last 2 days, especially on Monday. The course is probably pretty saturated. Now, the drainage is pretty good. They had a lot of rain here last year as well, but these fairways and greens are super easy to stick, especially for these tour professionals. And with the rain, it's only going to be even more so. So you're going to see guys try to dial it in with their wedges, lots of short iron play here. And, you know, you're going to see guys try to put it close. And it is supposed to dry out come the weekend, but there's another chance of rain on Wednesday, a small chance of rain on Thursday. So the course isn't going to be super dry. And it's going to play as it always does, which is you see winning scores of 22 under par, 20 under par, 22 under. Stricker won it 1 year at minus 24 under par. So you got to make birdies. The cut's probably going to come in a few strokes under par, 2, 3, 4 under par is kind of where that has ranged over the last few years. And you're going to be left behind if you're making pars. So targeting birdie makers, birdie or better percentage, the good short iron wedge players, the good putters, definitely the way you want to go here. We're all pretty much in agreement with that. It's not a bomber's course. This is a par 71, which you don't see too often. So three par fives this week, not a par 70 or 72. Two of the par fives are on the back nine and just one on the front. Two of the three are generally reachable and two for most guys, especially if they're in the fairway. So again, going to see a lot of birdies here this week. It's a fun tournament for fantasy scoring, watching guys make a lot of birdies and getting guys through the cut. I mean, you oftentimes you can hang in the GPP if you've got four or five through the cut on DraftKings, if your guys are all near the top. That's not going to be as much of the case this week unless we have another week where, you know, it's not like a 2 or 3% 6 out of 6 percentage. Otherwise, if it's a normal, you know, 15 to 20% 6 out of 6 week, you're going to want all six of those guys through the cut if you want to, you know, get towards the top in a GPP. So keep that in mind as you set your lineup building strategy, whether you want to go more balanced, whether you want to try to go stars and scrubs, really interesting dynamics. So let's start talking about these players at the top end here. We'll focus with the DraftKings pricing. So we've got Daniel Berger at the top at 11.3, Brian Harman at 10.9K, Kevin Kisner at 10.4, Danny Lee at 10.2. Only four guys in the five-figure price tags this week. Derek, I'll start with you on this one. Anybody that you think you're really trying to fit in above 10K this week?
I think my main goal is to be more balanced this week, but if I am playing anybody above 10K, it's probably going to be Danny Lee. I think we talked before the show, you guys are probably on the same page. He's been in his best form by far over his last six or seven events. His iron game just dialed in, I believe, over the last 16 to 20 rounds. He leads the field in strokes gained approach, and he's making a lot of birdies right now. He does have a T3 here in 2015. So trends are really converging for him. I just don't know if I want to pay that price.
Yeah, it is. I mean, again, it's all kind of relative in this field. It is hard to pay that kind of price tag for Danny Lee. But I think an interesting thing with him, and it's kind of surprising given the way he's been playing, but he is not exempt yet into the Open Championship. So I guess a follow-up question, are you worried about guys like Berger, you know, Kisner, some of these other guys that that have already secured their spot next week? Is focus an issue for you with some of these guys?
For me, it is a little bit at the top. For guys that don't really play in this event every year, I am a little bit worried about it, like Berger and Kisner. But when it comes to like Zach Johnson and Steve Stricker, player every year, yeah, kind of treat this as ATM. Yeah, I'm not too worried about it.
Same question to you, Jacob. Anybody you like at the top, and are we worried about guys that might have an eye on next week?
Well, like Derek, I really like Danny Lee this week. I'm kind of fond of handicapping things from a motivational standpoint. It's, you know, it's hard to sort of figure out what a motivation for a player might be, but a lot of these guys today are, they set their year around making it to East Lake, making it to the Tour Championship, and Danny Lee is currently 43rd in the FedEx Cup standings. He needs a strong finish to have a chance, especially if he doesn't play next week. He'll probably fall in those standings. So I think that a guy like Danny Lee is as safe as you can get in the top guys. He's motivated. He needs to play well this week. He has a chance to play in another major championship if he plays well. So I really like him at the 10K. I do worry about some of the younger guys who haven't made this trip over before, who have played the week before. But the veterans who've done this, I'm not as worried about them. They'll be ready to go next week.
Yeah, tough to suck up the 10.9K price tag for Brian Harman. Obviously, this is a course that that would theoretically fit his game. He's not a bomber off the tee. he can dial it in with his approach shots and can certainly get red hot with the putter. Just tough to pay a 10.9K price tag for him, but he does profile well and is obviously a past champion here. Berger and Kisner, guys that that don't play this event every year like some of the other top names that we'll get to. So it does all kind of point to Danny Lee as the top guy, especially with the way he's been playing on a DFS, you know, price basis. He's $1,000, $1,100 cheaper than Berger, a good bit cheaper than Harmon. So there's a reason that people kind of look at him this week. Jacob, I'll follow up with you as we get into the next tier of 9K options. How do you parse out the course horses, the guys that have played here a ton, like Steve Stricker and Zach Johnson? You know, Zach Johnson last year at this event was over $13,000 on DraftKings, which is crazy to think right now. But I mean, both these guys, both Stricker and Zach Johnson, had impeccable runs at this event. Stricker won 3 years in a row. Zach Johnson had a 5-year stretch where he finished in the top three every time. And both of these guys are Midwestern guys that that really enjoy playing at this tournament more so than some other guys do. So the current form isn't the best with Zach, but he loves this event. You like those two guys this week?
I do. You know, I think that for those of you that are kind of new to DFS golf, it's easy to get caught up in what are the numbers look like, how they played recently, from a just playing golf standpoint. Sometimes a course or a hole or an area just suits your eye, and Zach Johnson's history there is pretty awesome. I mean, you won't find course history is that phenomenal. Him and Steve Stricker both. So, notorious, I like the idea of a balanced lineup, but you could probably start a lineup with one or both of those players and feel okay doing that. I think they both have a chance to make a ton of birdies and play well into the weekend.
The John Deere Classic made the horrible mistake last year of putting Stricker and Johnson, who very clearly have the top followings in terms of people that want to come watch them play, given the field strength of this event. They put them in the same group last year. I forget who the third person was. It was another fairly big name for this event. They put Stricker and ZJ in the same group. So the throngs of people following that group was like three people deep. You could have followed anybody else on the golf course last year and had like eight people walking around with them. You know, I think I followed Kevin Na and Keegan Bradley, and it was Wesley Bryan. It was his first career tournament. And there was like six or seven people following one of the better groups in this field. And so if you're going to the event, they have at least split up Stricker and Johnson this year. But if you're planning on following a group around, those two guys will get the biggest crowds, at least for the, you know, first couple of days, assuming they make the cut, and then on the weekend as well. They get a big following in the Midwest. And, I mean, Derek, you know, as well as I do from playing DFS golf for a fairly good length of time, that sometimes you just get these course horses, and these two guys at this event, pretty tough to pass.
Yeah, you talk about guys that are accurate off the tee, good with their wedges, good putters, and those two are two of the best at all three of those. I think my main lineup will probably have both of them in it. You know, Zach Johnson had 5 straight years finishing no worse than third. You already mentioned Steve Stricker had those 3 wins in a row here. So, yeah, this is kind of one of those weeks where I'm kind of not looking at the stats quite as closely for those two and just kind of going off of their comfortability at this course and how well they've played here. The guy that I'm probably fading in this range is Charlie Hoffman. I've heard a lot of buzz about him. He seems to be becoming more popular, but he's just not accurate enough for me. I know he's been in great form with 2 top 10s in a row, but not the best track record here in the last 5 years, and just not accurate enough off the tee.
Jacob, I'll pivot back to you. I know at least I saw that you put Hoffman in your article this week. So you got a take on him that's a little different there?
So just coming from the perspective of wouldn't be a guy that I would hit the lock button on, right? But Charlie Hoffman is a guy that you can sprinkle into some lineups that, you know, I talk about upside a lot. He has enough upside to win this golf tournament. And 9,700, chances are that ownership will not be that high on Hoffman with Stricker and Lee around him, and Stanley will probably govern a fair amount of that ownership. So I like Hoffman. I like his chance to continue his hot form and make a bunch of birdies this week. He's a I don't know if you could say that there's a picture in your mind of what the person should look like at the, wins the John Deere Classic, but Charlie Hoffman kind of
he would definitely fit. Put him on the tractor at the end of the week for sure. The that threw me off. That's a great point. The other 9K guys that we haven't talked about, probably for, you know, reasons that we don't like them quite as much, but any interest, Derek, in Stanley or Lovemark or the defending champion Ryan Moore?
This may be short-sighted on my part, but I tend to avoid guys coming off wins unless they're elite players. Not that Stanley's not one of the favorite DFS guys, but I don't really consider him an elite player. So I always just expect a little bit of a setback after picking up such a big win. So I'll probably be off of Stanley. Lovemark, you know, he's a guy that – been playing well, but he's not really. I like him on courses that are a little bit longer where he can take advantage of length off the tee. Then Ryan Moore, kind of the same thing as Stanley. You know, the defending champs kind of have a little bit more media obligations on him this week. A little more expectations coming his way. He hasn't played in quite a while, actually. So,
yeah, he's been out for 7 weeks with a shoulder injury. So that kind of. There's too much risk there for me. Obviously, he's going to play here. He's the defending champion, but also to try to knock some rust off for next week. And, you know, this could basically just be a glorified exhibition for him. If it only lasts two rounds, it only lasts two rounds. He fulfilled his obligation as the defending champ. Let's move on. And, you know, I kind of agree with what you said about the other guys. Interesting, though, with Stanley because – I mean, he's just such a great statistical fit here. He's played here a ton. He's third in strokes gained approach this year. So I am a little bit worried about fading Stanley, but I kind of subscribe to that same theory that you do. And, you know, he's just one of those guys that I think might have an eye on next week, having qualified for the Open Championship and might not have as much focus at the John Deere Classic as he usually does. But admittedly, that's a difficult take to quantify, but I'm worried about Stanley this week. Jacob, your thoughts? Anybody else in the 9K range? You can hit on any thoughts you have on those other players we just talked about.
Sure. Well, if we're talking tournament strategy, let's say that, you know, it's pretty popular to click Stricker and Johnson, right, to start your roster off with those two. Well, if you're building a bunch of tournament lineups, maybe start a few of them off with just one or the other and mix in a guy like Kyle Stanley. Like you said, I mean, it's a player you're not 100% comfortable fading. I mean, he's having probably the front runner for comeback player of the year, playing some of the best golf of his career. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him play well again this week. So from a tournament standpoint, I don't hate the idea of not having Zach Johnson and Stricker paired together and maybe putting, you know, like Kyle Stanley or even Charlie Hoffman together if you want to look a little different at the top.
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just glanced at the projected ownership. We actually have Stanley above Johnson and Stricker, which
I don't think he will end there. Yeah. I know the first set of ownership projections that Trey posts are kind of more model-based, and then once he gets to figuring out where the buzz is at, he'll adjust those the next couple of days. Yeah, I don't think Stanley will end there. It will be interesting to see how popular he is, but if you're looking for a true lower-owned guy, you know, Hoffman is probably your play there. Stanley will still garner his share of ownership just because of the form and the fact that he's a good statistical fit here. I'm maybe a little biased against guys that are coming off wins just like Derek. Ryan Moore will be another guy that enough people are going to know about his injury, and he hasn't played in a month and a half. It's been since April since he's had a top 50, so I think that he'll have pretty low ownership as well, but hard for me to endorse Moore even as a GPP play this week. From there, we've got Charles Howell at 9K, and then quite a few golfers in the 8K range, but the field strength kind of really starts to noticeably dip here. You've got Streelman, Streb, and Summerhays as your most expensive 8K options. And then, you know, just a little bit less exciting when you get to these guys. You kind of see a clear drop-off in the Vegas odds. So this may be where some people kind of overlook this range a little bit. Even if you're going with a balanced approach, maybe you start it with some of those 9K guys and then go into the 7Ks. Jacob, you got a take on this tier of 8K guys here?
Yeah, so when you first look at it, I mean, it's easy to glance right over and go, ooh, I don't like, really. I mean, Charles Howell, I'd like him at 8K, 9K. I guess there's some merit for it. It's just I always have a hard time pulling the trigger, paying a lot for a guy that I just don't feel like that can win the golf tournament, that has that ability. And you know, Hal's proven that over the course of his career, that he's a great top 10 machine and steady Eddie, but, you know, if you're looking for a guy for upside to win, it's not always the person you go to. The person I'm kind of intrigued by in that 88 and below range is Daniel Summerhays. Not a person that when I start out the beginning of the season, I make projections on players and forecasts, and not a player that I was high on, but I've been impressed by him. I mean, he looks like a player that's close to winning on the PGA Tour. So this could very well be his week, pretty accurate ball striker. So Summerhays is a guy that may garner some ownership because he's played well late, but you know, people just kind of glance over that range and go like two higher priced players and start fitting in some sub 8K players, he could be a guy that could look pretty good on a few rosters if he plays well.
He's had some good results. He's been hit or miss here. He's had some ugly showings, really ugly showing last year, but has a handful of top 10s at the event as well, Summerhays. So, you know, kind of the guy that most people think of as a steady, consistent player, but he's put up some good results this year. So don't mind him at 8.6, Streelman at 8.8K. Decent week last week. I played Streelman quite a bit at the Greenbrier. And Streelman put up the old Jim Furyk round, the Bill Haas round on Saturday. 18 pars for Kevin Streelman on Saturday. That's 9 DraftKings points. I can do that math. Plus the bogey free round. So we got an extra 3. 18 pars, boy, that's difficult to do, but I've seen that a few times in my DFS career. One of them was with Furyk. Haas almost had one on Saturday too last week, 17 pars, and he birdied the last. So kind of a weird tournament last week with not a ton of birdies, but still reasonable scoring. That's going to kick into hyper mode this week. So Streelman's at least playing pretty well, just needs to make a few more putts if he wants to contend here. Robert Streb got the big price boost to 8.7K after his second place showing last week. Again, this isn't the most glamorous of ranges. Derek, who are you looking at in the 8Ks here?
Two guys I like, Charles Howell at 9K. The winning upside is a little bit of a concern at that price. But it's hard to find a guy that's that safe, that, you know, has top 10 upside every week. And he may be a little bit more motivated this year than he has been in the past, just because he did miss, you know, a few months with injury. Might not be burnt out like he, you know, maybe could have been in the past.
He plays a lot of golf usually.
Yeah. Pretty decent track record here. Ranks first in bogey avoidance. So on a course we need a lot of birdies, you know, he won't be giving them back. And then I like Ben Martin. Coming off of 3 pretty decent finishes in a row. Had a T2 here last year. Over his last 12 rounds, he's ranked first in this field in strokes gained approach. I hope he doesn't become kind of a, you know, a sneaky play that everyone ends up being on, but I have a feeling that that might happen.
Yeah, it might be. I have enjoyed playing him the last couple of weeks, and he tends to thrive in these weaker field events a little bit too. So don't mind some Ben Martin. And, you know, these guys might all garner a little bit more ownership. Did see the old news that always makes everyone freak out. This afternoon that Bud Cauley is feeling ill and withdrew from the Pro-Am tomorrow. So if you're on Bud Cauley, that's always something that makes people squirm, myself included, because you just, especially at this course, you don't want to have a zero. It's just, it's not good. And the last time I did that was 3 weeks ago with Charlie Hoffman. He finished third. So it's just, I always tend to overreact to these things, so I will probably pivot off of Bud Cauley. Not that I did have some shares of him. Not that I thought he was a fantastic play, but he did finish inside the top 10 here last year and has been having a decent season. But I don't see – he's not the guy that I want to risk that with. So if you are on Bud Cauley, just know that he is ill and has withdrawn from the Pro-Am. Hasn't withdrawn from the tournament, but keep an eye on that if you're planning on – rostering him. 8K range, Noto mentioned Ben Martin, David Hearn, Bubba Watson, Kevin Na round out your 8K options. Jacob, you got anybody else in here that you like?
So I'm sort of the person I like sales, and obviously Bubba Watson's been on sale for better part of the season now. So Unfortunately, I've had shares of him every week, and probably yeah. have some shares this week. It's one of those deals, the moment that you don't and he plays well, it's just it's the worst feeling ever.
So, you're pot committed at this point.
Pot committed. but so there's a few players that I just don't genuinely like, and Bubba Watson is one of those players. But, you know, if you're going to do this with any kind of success, you've got to take the approach and do an evaluation. I mean, the talent is still there. There's a good player still in Bubba Watson. He's going to bust out at some point. So I will have some shares of him. The player that I will not have any shares of is Kevin Na. I'm hearing some buzz on Kevin Na. To me, he's like a poor man's version of Charles Howe, but a much poorer man's version. Hasn't played the best golf this season. Another guy that's even at 8K, I don't think he's a player that can close the deal on Sunday. And plus, I just don't want to have to root for him. So I will not have any Kevin Na's watching him fidget on Sunday. Hopefully he misses that.
Thank you for the excellent tee up. As I read in Notorious's article yeah. that he likes Kevin Na to win this week. So present to me your other side there.
Yeah. So over the last 12 rounds, only Danny Lee has had more strokes gained on approaches. Kevin Na does have a good track record here. 13th and an eighth in his last two tries. And yeah, I mean, it's just it's a course where he doesn't have to hit a lot of drivers. He's not going to be I guess he's going to hit driver, but he's not going to be at a disadvantage when it comes to length. But I do love the Bubba Watson call, actually. I thought I was going to be the only one suggesting him in tournaments.
Again? You're falling for it again?
I'm pot committed too, man.
you're both in the same boat there.
So over the last 50 rounds on bent grass greens, he's number one in strokes gained tee to green, number one in strokes gained total. And over the last 36 rounds, he's ranked second in both of those categories. So that does include some older results, but he obviously likes these bent grass greens.
Are you talking about Na again or Bubba?
Bubba.
That surprises me.
Yeah.
As long as you don't try to get me on Luke List again this week.
Dude, he was so close. And just gave it away.
He was so close. He was so close. He missed the cut by one stroke, and he was like minus four strokes gained putting on Friday, which is so. If there was ever a Lucas thing to do, that was it. And missed the cut by one, and you know that'll happen. But he's a roller coaster. He's like Ryan Palmer. Speaking of Ryan Palmer, he's at 7,900. If you want to play him this week, and does not have a spot in the Open Championship, so maybe he'll be fired up to post some good results this week, but the form has kind of been off for him. Just like with Bubba this year, it just hasn't been there. If you're looking for featured groups, this will probably be one of the featured groups on the PGA Tour stream. Bubba is golfing with Steve Stricker and Kevin Kisner, which is kind of a strange pairing, but three of the better golfers in the field. Kisner, Watson, Stricker, Zach Johnson is playing in the morning wave with Daniel Berger and Charles Howell. So those are kind of the two feature groups, one on each side of the draw this week. Look, it is going to click for Bubba. I give you guys a hard time, but it is going to click for him at some point. Obviously, the upside is there in this field where, in theory, he should lap everyone in terms of talent. He's a guy that could reach all three of these par fives in two. And, you know, there's a couple of par fours on this course that generally play around 360 yards. I mean, he could try to drive those two. There's really not much of a penalty if you try to drive those two shorter par fours. Most guys just can't do it. But especially on days where they do a front pin location or they move that tee box up a little bit, Bubba could certainly try. I mean, that would be in his style to try to go after that. So he could still overpower this golf course, even though it's not typically one that's suited for driving distance. It could be one where maybe Bubba tries to attack it with reckless abandon and have good results, but who knows? I mean, this isn't an event he normally plays, which does tell me that maybe he's trying to find something before the Open. And I mean, last week he was doing okay the first few days, and then the wheels kind of came off on the weekend. So he just needs to put four rounds together. You are getting a discount on him. It is a weak field. It does make sense. And so many people have been burned by Bubba Watson so much that they're just not going to go there. So, you know, it might be a fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times thing, but it does kind of make sense in this field. obviously, if this week was the British Open, you're probably not taking that risk on him. But the John Deere Classic, maybe a little bit of a different story.
And I think part you got to look at, too, that not just the British Open. I mean, Bubba Watson's a guy that's used to being, you know, a late finisher in the FedEx race. I mean, he is outside of anywhere close to being contention for that. I mean, all these guys make goals at the beginning of the season. And I guarantee you Bubba Watson wants to finish the season strong. So that's probably why he's playing this week. I mean, it's about time for the Ryder Cup hangover to end. I mean, it's pretty obvious that that kind of contributed to his year. And, I mean, you just look at the names above him. I mean, you know, if we were teeing it up on Sunday morning, you could pick Robert Streb or Bubba Watson as your partner. Who would you pick? I mean, it's pretty easy, price aside, right? So I think Bubba Watson, the talent's there. If you're building a bunch of lineups, so there's no argument that – I mean, I think you can make a strong argument for throwing some Bubba Watson in there. He's got too much upside.
All right, let's move into the 7Ks now. I just mentioned Ryan Palmer. This is kind of where it gets interesting. Lots of decent names in here, and this could be what wins or loses your tournaments, your cash games this week, picking this guy in the 7K range. There's lots of them, the guy that pops for a top 10 or something like that. So, Noto, I'll start with you here. Anybody you like in the upper tier of these 7K guys?
I think my favorite guy in this range is Chad Campbell. He kind of fits the mold of being accurate and good with his wedges. His tee to green game's been really good over the last few tournaments, and he's got two top tens in his last three outings. He also has a good track record of this event, and he's one of those guys that tends to play well on the same courses each and every year. So I like Campbell. My question to you guys is, what are we doing with Bryson?
Ah, yes, old Bryson. He's been on fire, with his quirky game and style. But lots of birdies the last few weeks from Bryson DeChambeau, 26th, 17th, and 14th, his last three events. I'm the one that hasn't been burned by him just yet the last month, so I'm fine with riding the wave with some shares this week. The price is getting uncomfortably high at 7,800, but, I mean, he's been a birdie maker. The problem is the weakest area of his game has been his irons. He did not hit his irons well last week, and that could be a worry on this course. So I will have some of him, but I understand the other side is kind of where I am with Bryson. You got a take on him, Jacob?
So I've been a buyer for most of the year, and I'll continue to be a buyer this week. I think you know, my long-term projections are that Bryson will eventually be a PGA Tour winner. I think the talent is there. You know, golf is such a fickle sport, and it's such a fine line between playing at a high level and, you know, just a little bit below that on the PGA Tour. You're going home on the weekend. So he's obviously came on the scene with a lot of flair and hype, and didn't quite live up to the hype, at least in the DFS community. But he's a guy that I think's definitely one of the more talented young players on tour. So I'm comfortable paying that price for him. I like him at that price range. I love Campbell again this week, and I'm going to hop back on the Nick Taylor train. I think another player that if you're going to see somebody that's not you know, a name that people are who are comfortable rostering or don't know much about him, I wouldn't be surprised to see Nick contend on the weekend.
Yeah, he was playing really well last week, pretty consistent. He got the all four rounds under 70 bonus on DraftKings last week, and jumped out to a really hot start. Couldn't quite crack the top of the leaderboard, but he was in contention much of the week, and ended up walking away with a nice top 10 finish. So Nick Taylor, Chad Campbell, those guys that you mentioned, that you guys both mentioned, I think are obviously strong plays. Kelly Kraft, another guy who's been playing well of late. You know, he's been very inconsistent this year, but he's off a 43rd and a 5th his last two starts, and has had a decent result here in the past. So I think, you know, he might be worth a look this week. Again, sometimes you're just kind of chasing upside in this range. And, you know, if you're – I don't know if I have the stones to do this, but if you're chasing upside in course history, Noto, you got to take on Mr. Johnson Wagner this week.
Well, if I knew he was growing out his mustache, I'd go all in on it. but, yeah, so luckily I faded him last week, even though he had the great course history over there. I almost played him, didn't. So he helped me out last week, and I'm going to get back on him this week just because I think his ownership is going to be low, especially at that price. I think people will be scared to go back to him, even with the course history. So yeah, I'm buying a little bit of Wagner. Probably not, you know, a lock button play for me, but definitely a guy that's you know, on my radar.
Yeah, he's got a really solid course history, 3 top 10s at this event. Obviously not having the best season, but again, these are the kind of guys that, hey, sometimes they just like this course and play well here. Any other mid 7K range plays for you, Jacob?
So my question is, how do you feel about Chesson Hadley playing this week? Won last week on the web.com tour, obviously lost his card, in good form, one-time regarded as an up-and-coming player on tour. You know, I feel like he's a guy, we don't like picking usually a player that's off a win, but, you know, he's got to be.
Probably, no, the web.com events don't count, so we're still good.
is that kind of like eating food in another zip code doesn't count towards calories?
That's right. That's right. I wish.
But I mean, Hadley's a guy that I'm kind of intrigued with. You know, motivation to get back on the big tours, I think, is something that obviously all those guys want to do. So I like him. And I'm sort of interested a little bit in Snyderjans. Haven't been a consistent buyer of Snyderjans this year, but much like Bryson, I think he's a guy that's going to win sooner than later. So we'll probably look to sprinkle in a few shares of Ollie this week, as much as it might give me indigestion.
Hey, super talented. And don't get fooled. If you see the 156th place finish there last week, don't be fooled. He didn't finish dead last in the field, but he signed an incorrect scorecard. He had 2 holes reversed on Friday on his scorecard. He would have missed the cut by 1 anyway, so it didn't cost him a paycheck. But you know, you see the game log on DraftKings, you'll see 156th place. That's because he technically, officially got disqualified. But you know, in reality, he only missed the cut by 1 and then had a snafu on his scorecard. So had he made the cut and still signed an incorrect scorecard, that would have been a burner for a lot of people. But anyway, Ollie, you know, he hasn't been in the finest of form lately, but he's still kind of hovering around the cut line in most events. And he's got some upside at that price compared to these other guys in this field. You know, you are kind of searching for upside at this point. Good point on Hadley, another guy. He's going to be really low owned. You know, most people just don't know a whole lot about him. And he has shown some flashes on the PGA Tour in the past. So I definitely don't mind that call as kind of a 5% or less in GPPs that could put you over the top this week if he plays well. Other kind of mid-range 7K plays for you, Derek?
So I like both of those guys in GPPs, like those calls. If we're talking about former web.com winners that are good with their approaches and good at putting, I like Wesley Bryan. T8 here last year. Hasn't been in the best of form since his win, but he did have a T46 his last time out. I think if you look just strictly at Vegas odds, he's clearly a value in this price range. The guys around him have 3 times worse odds than he does. So I like Wesley Bryan a little bit. And yeah, that's about it in the sevens, I think.
Yeah, I really like Wesley Bryan this week. So last year, this event was his first official start on the PGA Tour after he won all the events on the web.com tour that granted him exemption for his card. And so he's seen this course before in competitive action, and we haven't been able to say that about him with a lot of other courses. He's been seeing all these places for the first time. And if you look at his recent stats, where Wesley Bryan has really struggled has been off the tee. He's been very capable with his approaches, and that's kind of always what he's known for. He can get hot with the putter. He's just been absolutely awful off the tee. And at this course, this should be a remedy for that. With easy to hit fairways, you've had some rain, they're going to be easy to stick. As long as he's not hitting it in the trees and out of bounds and things of that nature, he was absolutely dialed in here with his irons last year in his first professional start. So I see no reason to go away from him again. I know that some of his results recently have been ugly, but again, if he can get it straightened out off the tee, he should be fine. So I like him at 7,300 this week. There's always the enigmatic Grayson Murray at 7,300. Don't know if you guys had a chance to catch the Golf Channel article, but an article posted about him today that was informative. Obviously, I'm not the biggest Grayson Murray fan. People know that. He's blocked me on the old social media for doing nothing, but you know, the article kind of talks about his struggle, and really last week's withdrawal was related to his stress, anxiety issues that he's had. And that's enough to scare me off of him this week. I mean, there's a lot going on with him. And again, I'm not the person to ask about the Grayson Murray takes, because I'm going to be biased the other way. But he's there, and he's still in the field this week, despite the issue that caused him to withdraw a week ago. We've got Jeff Ogilvie in here, who I know is Josh Culp's specialist, in his article on the homepage this week. Jacob, you got any other 7K guys that you like?
Well, like both of you, I really like Wesley Bryan. I think before last week's win by Xander, I mean, was there any question who the rookie of the year was? So now there's some competition. If there's any more motivation, I mean, Wesley Bryan is probably as motivated as anybody to keep playing well. So I like him. I really like below the 7K range, if you're taking some tournament flyers. I've kind of been a sucker for this pick throughout the year, but I think it's time to jump back on the Harold Varner train. I think the guy that can make birdies in bunches should be fairly low owned. So I like him. And you're not going to like this one, Cards, but I like Luke List this week.
No, there's no way.
So yes. The way that I like to format, the way I kind of look at that, I look at top five, top 10, top 20s in terms of DraftKings scoring. And I think number one players in the field this week with top 20s would be Mr. Luke List. He has eight DK top 20 or better finishes. Now, most of those are early in the season, but you get a guy at 7K. If you're playing a lot of tournament lineups, there's definitely the upside. So I like some shares of Luke List this week.
Derek, are you playing Luke List again?
He's got to pay me back eventually, right?
In theory, I suppose.
I like Scott Brown a little bit more at that same price, but I'll have a tournament lineup or two at List in it.
Just can't resist. I can't do it. I can't do it. The putter was just the putter is just a problem with him. But hey, everyone's got their bites. He's great off the tee. He can hit it a mile. I can't do it this week. But yeah, his ownership's going to be low. It's about 6-7% last week. I do have a little bit of Scott Brown. If you're looking to take a 7K bomber that might be a disaster but has some upside, I'll take Trey Mullinax over List this week just because he hasn't burned me like List has. But you guys do bring up a good point. It is about upside in this range. You're looking for a guy who can sneak out a top 10 or top 15 in your GPPs. Or maybe in cash games, you're looking for somebody a little bit safer. That might be a Scott Brown type, Michael Kim type that continues to make cuts, but hasn't really flashed a lot of upside. Michael Kim's 13 of 18. And cuts made this year, but doesn't have a top 10. He is at 6.9K on DraftKings. And this is kind of where the weak field nature of this event really starts to kick in. Derek, you got any 6K guys that you feel comfortable clicking that button?
There aren't many in terms of cash game plays that I see. I think Kim's fine. Outside of that, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, Chris Stroud's okay. Harold Varner, I like his upside for the price, as Jacob mentioned. Vaughn Taylor seems like a good cash game play, but these guys kind of seem to lack the upside that I'm looking for. We didn't talk about him earlier. How about Curtis Luck?
Yeah, I did not mean to leave Curtis Luck out of the discussion. I put him in my video last week, put him in my video this week, figured if it's not broken, don't fix it. And I was really surprised that he was only 5% owned last week. I would expect that to climb a little bit. I mean, he's a guy the last 2 weeks, I think he's plus 9 strokes with the putter. So you give me a guy that's plus 9 strokes with the putter over the last 2 weeks on this course, I'll definitely take some chances on that. So, Jacob, you got any thoughts on Curtis Luck or other sleepers that we may not have talked about?
So, as I was mentioning to you before the show started, I was fortunate enough to go to the Masters this year, and one of the cool things is I spent the whole week there and got to watch a lot of people play and practice, and Curtis Luck was one of the handful of players that I left the week thinking I've got to keep an eye on this guy. I was very impressed watching him play and practice, so been gradually amping up my ownership percentage on Luck, and would not be surprised if he plays well enough to secure a PGA Tour card by the end of the season. So I definitely like him. Good ball striker, great with the putter, and kind of, you know, just watching his body language, he seems to to be ready for the stage. So definitely like luck this week.
Yeah, for sure. And the price, you know, is still very reasonable. Let me pull up our project. You still got the projected ownership up, Derek? You see where he's at? Or
he is at 18%.
Okay, yeah. I'm not going to get to 5% again. So 18, that seems pretty reasonable. It might be around where he ends up falling. And with the limited value in this tournament, I mean, they were even – when he got the sponsor's exemption to play this week, they were talking it up on the local news, and I'm like, why? How does the local news know about Curtis Luck? And it's like, well, I guess he's kind of well known for his amateur success and things of that nature. So, hey, Curtis Luck was getting some hype on the local news. So that's most of what we got going on this week for the John Deere Classic. Next week we have the Open Championship, which will be held at Royal Birkdale in England. And I was just doing a little bit of looking at the last time, so the Open Championship, what they do is a course rotation of, you know, 6-7 different courses. And the last time the Open Championship was held at Royal Birkdale was in 2008. The winner that year was Paddy Harrington at +3. Second place was Ian Poulter at +7. And I'm not sure, I don't think that weather was an absolute, I mean, huge detriment to the scoring. I think you're going to see that this is a very difficult course. Haven't dug into it too much yet, but it is interesting to note that a 3-over was your winning par in 2008. Prior to that, 1998 was the last time that it had been held there. And let's see, take a peek at what the winning score was. That was even par in 1998. And Justin Rose finished in fourth place as an amateur back in 1998, so 20 years ago. That's pretty amazing that he's been on the tour for that long. But so not a place where you're going to see tons of birdies. At it's almost the exact opposite of this week. And as I mentioned in the top, the John Deere Classic will have a charter flight over for those guys who have qualified. Just a different dynamic. You're going to see a ton of birdies this week. You're not going to see as many birdies next week. So we're going to have some big GPPs out there, probably both on FanDuel and DraftKings. And Derek, I'm sure you're looking forward to a big major next week.
Yeah, I can't wait. You know, we only get 4 a year, so I'm pretty excited. And the best part about the Open Championship is we get to watch it all night long, so don't get any sleep.
Screws up my sleep patterns. I know I did last year a little bit too. And you know, you wake up or you kind of drift off and wake up and the guys are through nine holes or whatever. It's just different to have golf on at midnight. Hey, it's a fun sweat for sure. Any golf is a fun sweat. Jacob, any thoughts for you on next week and how to handle the Open Championship?
You know, one of the things that I love most about the Open Championship is you get to watch players play shots that they don't normally play on a normal PGA Tour event, putting it from way off the green or low chip shots or half shots, 4 irons from 130 or 40 yards. So the conditions are always the big the issue or potentially the issue for the Open Championship. So it's just fun to watch, a different style of golf. And I really think that you can almost always look at high emphasis on quality of ball striking going through a British Open Championship. Thinking of guys like Tom Watson in the past and last year's winner, Henrik Stenson's a prime example. You know, putting will be less important.
Yep, for sure. Dustin Johnson, the current favorite at 8-1 opening odds. Jordan Spieth at 10-1. John Rahm getting some respect at 12-1. You've got guys like Rory, Garcia, Fowler, Justin Rose at 15-1. Obviously, these are a little bit different depending on where you look, but Rory, Fowler, Noto's favorite golfer, Henrik Stenson, they're playing over in Europe this week in preparation for the event next week. And I put this in the expert survey that we do for the premium content. Derek, I think Stenson wins this week in the warm-up for the Open Championship. So he's going to win the 1 week where nobody's, you know, really playing for big dollars with the Euro Tour. But he's going to troll you and win this week.
That'll be just fine, not playing in the Euro, so hopefully he wins this one.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to about wrap us up here for tonight. Again, we thank Notorious Derek Farnsworth and Han Dizzle Jacob Horton for joining us on the show tonight. Brian Devonshire should be back next week, as I read during the show on Twitter that he busted out of the main event during the show. So condolences to him, but another nice poker run for him, I'm sure. And Gib Pollard will be back from his vacation to Australia, so we'll get some details from him on that. Always nice to have him back on the show, so we will see him next week in his return from a month off. And we've got a big tournament with the Open Championship. Should be tons of fun. Lots of big GPPs out there. But until then, enjoy the John Deere Classic. If any of you happen to be out there, I will be there on Saturday and Sunday. So shoot me a message. We could meet up, say hi, what have you. And thanks, as always, for joining the show. We'll see you 1 week from now. For Derek, for Jacob, I'm Justin. Take care, everybody.